As you understand these words of John 14, 15, 16, and 17 were spoken to 11 disciples, Judas was not worthy to hear these words. The Lord didn't even begin until he left the room. He wasn't worthy. 11 disciples that became apostles heard these words. No other writer caught it. None of them even came close to what he said. John caught it when he laid his head upon the breast of the Lord. He caught the heartbeat of God. He's the only one that wrote about it. He's the only one that wrote what was said in the upper room. These words that were spoken in the upper room are by far, my opinion, more powerful than any other part of the entire Bible. They encompass everything from salvation to the fullness of the Lord's and the mystery of the Lord's mantle himself, the anointing without measure, to the mystery of answered prayer. It's all there. You probably won't get it your first pass through, but each time it's another level of glory. It explicitly defines the role of the Holy Spirit, the role of the Lord Jesus, and the role of the Father. All of it's there, and your role. There's so much there, layer upon layer, fullness upon fullness. Each time you pass through, you see another level of glory, and it's taking you that much closer to a fullness of the promised land. To pray to a God and he answers you from heaven above. And more than that, that God that sits upon the throne, the Father, will come down here and dwell with you. Not very many people attain that. Everyone has the Holy Spirit when God the Father comes down and dwells with you. Everything changes. John 14:1 say, you shall know. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe in me. Say believe. It's not the first time he spoke about believing. It's not going to be the last time he spoke about believing. But he wanted something you to believe specifically. He's going to hone your belief system in. I mean, to say you believe in God is very generic and is very general. But the Lord, through these chapters, is going to hone you in. He's going to hone your belief system in to something he wants you to see. We covered this on Wednesday. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. Now, there are mansions there, but that's not what he's talking about here, because everything about John 14, 15, 16, 17 is for here and now. There's many dwelling places. If it's not so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Every time he says, I go to the Father, if you want a good study, study the book of John. Just look up the words, I go, and see how many times he says, I go to the Father. He says, I came out of the Father. See how many times he goes, I go, I go, I go, I go. All he wanted to do is to fulfill the will of the Father and go back to where he was in the Father. Amen. But this time he's bringing us with him. He goes, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, and where I am, there shall you be also. Those are very powerful words. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by way of him. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then Philip, he says this remarkable thing. He says, show us the Father. And that really perturbed the Lord. He said, Philip, you have not all this time I've been with you, and you've not seen the Father. How can you say, show me the Father? He goes, and this is where we're going to pick this up. In verse 8, there's some very, very, very powerful things here. So don't read through them without the Holy Ghost. You have to have the Holy Ghost to understand chapter 14, 15, 16, 17. You cannot possibly understand it without him, much less experience it without him. We must have the Holy Ghost. Amen. He said, Philip said to him, verse 8, Lord, show us the Father. That sounds good, doesn't it? Show us the Father. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long a time, and you've not known me, Philip? He that seen me has seen the Father. How sayest then thou, show us the Father? How can you possibly say that, Philip? Then he says something remarkable. He's setting the stage for the entire revelation of really what I would term the right hand of God. But in particularly, he gives the mystery to his own mantle of how he walked with the Father in these verses. He says, believest thou not that I am in the Father? There's two things he wants you to believe. Two, say two. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak not of myself. It's the Father that dwelleth, say dwelleth in me. He's doing the works. There's two major components or two major operations that he will constantly refer into and out of throughout the next three or four chapters. And it's being in the Father and the Father being in him. Two things. It's a position. Say position. But more than a position, it's a fellowship, a habitation. He goes, do you not know that I dwell in the Father where he is, Philip? I came out from him, but he also dwells here where I am. And this is the secret to my power, Philip. Because I and myself, if you study the book of John, how many times he'll say, I and myself as the Son of God can do nothing. If he came and did all this as the Son of God, you could not attain it if he did it in his deity. He surrendered his deity and did it as a son of the Father. But it was the Father doing the work. And he says, the words that I speak, it's not my words or the Father's works. The works that I do, I'm not doing them. The Father's doing them. And then he says, I and myself, he says it twice in chapter 5, can do nothing. Say nothing. So even he knew how to surrender the old. But the secret was that he dwelt in the Father, where the Father is. See, there's two different things. When he says in the Father, that's where he is. And then the Father's dwelling with me where I am. Now here's what everyone's looking for. We want Father God to come down off that throne and dwell with us in revival and glory and 100-fold mantle and the anointing without measure, created miracles. Everybody's looking for it. Everybody's prophesying it. Everybody knows it's coming. But we can't miss the other side. He says, Philip, do you not know that I dwell in the Father? That I'm in him. I dwell in him where he is. And he dwells in me where we are. And it's he's doing the work because he's dwelling. You're not going to get a dwelling here if you don't dwell there. Because what I'm finding out about the love of God and this little bitty ounces that I'm receiving, because he's got a lot of it. He wants to give it. More than you can know. When you have a massive major session, he will love you to a level that you will literally ask him to stop. You will say, Father, I was there the other day and my cup was about half full. And I said, Lord, I really, 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 really want to be overwhelmed today. And I stayed in there, and all of a sudden it started. And it started, and it didn't stop. I just literally said, I have to walk out of this. I know that's hard to believe. I know you're saying, try me, Lord. But he's got enough where you'll walk out. But what I found is when that kind of habitation takes place where he is, it comes back with you where you are. It's resident in you. We call it the resident anointing. It's resident power. It's resident glory. It's resident love. It's resident Father. Father is resident because you've been with him where he is. He's with you where you are. That's what the apostles knew. when they stood in front, when Peter stood in front of the man at the gate, beautiful, he wasn't trying to get Father God down. He said, such as I have, he's on me now. Because they learned how to dwell. Jesus taught them how to do this. He said, this is the secret to my mantle. You got to be inspired. And the eyes of your understanding are going to have to be opened by the Holy Spirit to see. Because if you don't see it, you won't obtain it. Amen? Now notice what he says. Believe not that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. This is what we're going to obtain. This is what the body of Christ is going to obtain in the last days, in these days. The Father dwelling in tangible presence, tangible love, tangible glory with us. I'm not talking about touching us. I'm talking about dwelling. When you dwell, you don't walk in your house and walk out. You dwell. For that to happen, we're going to dwell with him. And there's something's going to happen in this process. Amen. He said, believe me. Again, he said, believe me. He says, listen, it's an imperative that you believe what I'm telling you. Because if you don't believe what I'm telling you, I can't take you to the next step. Believe. Listen to that. Say believe. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. Because if you can't believe this, I can't take you into this. Because what I'm really going to do is bring you into this equation. But if you can't believe that the Father's in me, I am in him, and he's in me, and he calls this oneness. He says, believe this because I'm going to bring you to the exact place that I am. I'm going to bring you into this union. This is what I'm going to do for you. And you're going to have the same place that I have with the Father. And you're going to do the same works that I do. Say, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now notice what he just said there. He said, if you can't believe what I'm saying to you, then believe these works because they're testifying of my place and my position with the Father. I've come from him. This is how we're going to preach the gospel. If you can't believe the Jesus that we're talking about, then believe these works. I promise you this generation is going to fully preach the gospel like this. Every tongue, tribe, and nation. These works are going to fully restore. We're not talking about a little trinkling here and a little trinkling there. Full blown works. Maim, lame, blind. Dead, raised, all of these things in a first world country, it's going to happen. A first world glory. Not somewhere in the mountains, somewhere in Never Never Land, in first world nation, in first world cities, right in front of TV cameras. The demonstration. But to obtain this mantle, we'll be shifting from where we are to in the fullness where he is. To do that, we have to dwell where he dwelt. It's opening, by the way. It's been open since Calvary. It's been open, really. But it's opening now because it takes revelation to open it. And we move in by revelation. The first thing you want to do, if you want this, you'll have to get a revelation. Without the revelation, knowledge won't get you there. Knowledge is good, but you have to have the Holy Ghost grant the revelation. First thing is the revelation, because that's what's going to enable you to see. And he's actually going to talk about that here in a minute. He says, now verily, verily, he's going to start bringing you into this equation now. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also in greater works. Now, when he says, believe on me, he's talking about what he just said. He just said, believe in verse 1. He said, believe in verse 10, believe in verse 11. But he's talking about he that specifically believes on me and understands what I'm saying. The works that I do, he'll do also. Listen, you can believe on the Lord and be born again and never do the works. The works are a product of the oneness. Say the oneness. He that believeth that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, you're going to do the same works. Now watch what he continues to say. Did he say that? Now let's just drop down to John. He introduces the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a major, 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 major part of all this, because you're not even going to get through the door without the Holy Ghost. He's the one who's going to teach you how to transfer and come in. Drop down to verse 19. John 14, these words are like honey right now. They have a magnetism about them that calls you out of the world into the Father. These words, now listen to me, you need to understand this. These words have the power to pull you from where you are all the way to the Father. They're the only thing that has the power to pull you. The Holy Spirit is going to take you into that journey, but he's going to take you in that journey with these words. They have the power. Verse 19, yet a little while. He's going to say this quite a few times. In fact, he already said it a few times. If you want another word study, do a little word study on a little while. Say a little while. Yet in a little while, verse 19, the world will see me no more. Now, he's talking about I'm leaving now. Remember, these are the last words. He's in the upper room. He said, the world's not going to see me anymore. But, say but, you see me. Or in other words, he goes, you will see me. Interesting word choice, because he's leaving. He's not coming back again in the form that they're used to seeing him in a flesh and body suit. He goes, but you will see me. And he's not talking right there about the corporate eyewitness either. He goes, I'm going to leave in a little while. The world's not going to be able to see me, but you'll see me and you'll fellowship with me and you'll know me and you'll know where I am, because you're going to be with me where I am in the Father. He said, but you see me because I live, you will live also. At that day, he's talking post-cross here after his resurrection. Say, at that day. This is the title of my message. You say, you shall know. You shall know. Now notice what he says here. This is powerful. Up to now, he's been dancing around this, but now he's just going to engage. First, he talked about his position in the Father, and it was because of this mysterious place that he was in the Father, and the Father was in him, and this oneness. Because of this oneness, it created the capacity for the Father to work through him. And the Father came and dwelt with him, and then he did his works through the Holy Spirit in the earth. But it was the Father doing the works, and the Lord said, I and myself can do nothing. I'm doing this in the same way you're going to do this. And he says, it's because I dwell in the Father in this place called oneness, this mysterious place that seems so unattainable, but so incredibly attainable. So amazing. Now watch what he says. Say, you shall know. Notice what he says here, Dale, that I am in my Father, but you now are in me, and I am in you. He goes, in that day, a little while, the world can't see me, but you're going to see me. You're going to see an invisible realm. You're going to also see a place that I hold with my Father. Right now, I'm just telling you about it, but I'm going to show it to you. And in that day, say, in that day, you shall know gnosko. There's no Greek word like gnosko. It's intimately know. In fact, it's an idiom for man, a sexual intercourse between man and his wife. Intimacy, that's that word of the Greek. He goes, you're going to know, intimately understand, I'm going to show it to you. He says, I am on a mission to show this to you. Isn't it amazing? I'm thinking, Lord, if you are on such a mission to show us this place, how come nobody even understands these words? Most people look at John 14, 15, 16, 17 as the sweet by and by. They don't even know this is for us now. Start talking about one with the Father, people just check out. He says, you will know in that day, you're going to intimately know that I am in the Father. I'm telling it to you now. I'm asking you to believe it. But in that day, you're going to know it and also say, and you're going to know that I am in the Father, but you're in me in the Father. You're going to know this place that I'm talking about. That's the secret to my mantle. It's the secret to all things. You're going to know it. And then you're also going to know that I am in you. I'm in my Father. You're in me there. And we're in you here. Isn't that glorious? He goes, you're going to know it. That's a promise. That's a word that you can hold and keep. He promised he would teach you this. He promised. He's on a mission. He gave his life not just to save you. He gave his life to bring you into the Father where he was in the Father and to show the Father's great love to you. And for you to dwell in the great love of the Father the way he dwelt in the great love of the Father. In fact, Hebrews says, both he that sanctifieth, which is Christ, and they that are sanctified, which is you, are all one. Say, we're one. Now, little laws of meditation here. As you're meditating along, the Lord's going to pick this thought back up a couple of chapters later. And so it's really important you see John 14 and John 16 together. John 16, 16, notice what he says. If you'll read John 14 and 19 and John 16 and 16, they're basically the same thoughts, but he's going to add a few things. All right? So he said, in a little while, John 16, 16, you shall not see me. In John 14, 19, he said, in a little while, the world seeth me no more. He's coming back to what he said in John 14. And again, say again, in a little while, you shall see me because I go to the Father and prepare a place for you. So what is he saying to you? He goes, I'm going to give you the capacity to see invisible things. I'm going to give you the impossible to understand in an invisible realm, but it's a necessity that not only you understand it, you know how to go there, you know how to abide there, you know how to dwell there, and you have to see it. You're going to see it. The world can't see it, but you will see it. You are not somebody walking around in darkness just going to church. We are called to understand heavenly things. We are called to see heavenly things, understand heavenly things, and to dwell in heavenly things. If you don't, your dwelling's going to be here and the enemy's going to take advantage of you. He's going to constantly take advantage of you because you're in his system. He rules the earth, but he doesn't rule that place. And he doesn't rule anybody coming out of that place. If you want true power, you go to where power is. You get clothed in it. Every once in a while, I won't get in or something. I'll get, not very often now, but I'll go into the day uncovered. Wow. When you're living in the Spirit and you're living covered and you're living in the glory, you're not demonically focused. You're not demon focused. You don't see the devil. You see the glory. You're living in peace. Even when he does something, he bounces off of you. But if you go out there uncovered, all of a sudden you're uncovered, like, oh, wow. You start feeling, sense, and see everything. That's why the Lord was on us earlier about getting your spirit into ascendancy. Amen. Getting your spirit before him. Glory to God. So notice what he says here. John 16, he goes, a little while. After, he goes, I'm going to go to the cross in a little while. You're not going to, he goes, you won't see me. But then after a little while after that, say a little while after that, you will see me because I go to the Father and I'm going to prepare a dwelling place for you there. And you're going to see me. You're not going to see me with the eyes that you see me with now, but you'll see me with another type of eye. You'll see me with an eye of faith. Now, a lot of people don't understand faith. They think they just go and confess the word. Faith needs revelation to properly work. And the other thing faith needs is love. Faith worketh by love, and it worketh by revelation. You can't see this realm without the Holy Spirit taking these words and making them plain. And what he does when he grants the spirit of wisdom and revelation, he opens the eyes of understanding. He takes an invisible realm, but then the word gives you revelation to it and you'll see it. But you're not seeing it with this. So get out of the notion you're going to see with these eyes, but you'll see with an eye of faith that's been granted revelation by the Holy Ghost. That's why you desperately need the Holy Ghost in every stage of this, because he will give you the revelation. And once I see this place called oneness, I see this union, I see this place, I can move to it. He goes, he said it. He said in chapter 40, you will know, say you will know, that I'm in the Father, but you'll also know you're in me in the Father. That's huge. That is huge. Because once you get there, you're in the dwelling place of perfect love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and then God dwelleth in him. Notice when they swing back like that, when you're talking about in him, you're talking about where he is. When he's talking about in you, he's talking about where you are. That's the pendulum swing. We want God to be with us here. We have to dwell with him there. Amen? Okay. So now watch what he says. Drop down to verse 22. He gets in and the disciples didn't know what he was talking about. He goes, what's he talking about a little while? We don't understand what he means a little while. He goes, listen, you'll have sorrow, but your sorrow is going to get turned to joy. He goes, the world's about to rejoice because I'm going to the cross and they're going to rejoice over. He goes, well, you're going to have sorrow, but then your sorrow is going to be turned around into joy because you're going to see me again. Because they thought he was going away forever. He goes, well, you're going to see me again. You're just going to see me in a different way, but it's going to be a much greater way. All right. So he says all that. And in verse 22, all of these words are what's utilized to enter into this realm. Verse 22, he says, now, and you now therefore have sorrow right now because I'm leaving, but I will see you again. Say, I will see you again. Now you have a right when you go before the Lord in prayer to hold these words and said, you promised I would see you. If you're praying and trying to enter in and blanking out, and facing brick walls, these are the words you want to hold. You promised that I would see you. You promised that I would understand. You promised that I would know that you're in the Father, but you, that I would know that I'm in the Father as well. And I would be in that place and I could dwell in that place. You promised. I hold the promise. Say, hold the promise. It's so explosive in there. The explosiveness of entering into the Father's love. I wish what was going on in there would be going on here. It hasn't translated yet to here. So it's you can just say it and say it and say it. But that's the heart cry now. Say, Lord, what's in here, Father? Come into the earth. Let it come into the earth. And so he says, in that day, look at verse 23, John 16, in that day. Now, understand what he's about to say, because I'm about to give you a revelation. Say revelation. How many of you ever prayed in the name of Jesus? In the name of Jesus. Now, I want you, just for a moment, because we do pray in his name. But I'm going to show you. Remember how many times I've told you when you pray, enter into your secret place, shut the door, pray to your Father. Watch this. Watch this. Watch what praying in the name of Jesus actually means. Now look at this. In that day, verse 23, you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that you may be full. These things I have spoken to you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs, but I'm just going to show you plainly. Look, there's mysteries and then there's show you plainly. Show you plainly is not a mystery. It was a mystery, but it's not a mystery anymore. You have to move from mystery to show me plainly. Because if God's still a mystery and this realm's still a mystery and this place is a mystery and all this stuff with the Father's still a mystery, it's not plain. It's a mystery. Show me plainly. Make it plain. Show me. You have a right to hold that word in your heart. You said you would show me plainly. I would understand it. I don't have to stumble around understanding what this actually means. That you would show me plainly the Father. That you dwell in the Father, I dwell in the Father. You would show it to me. I would dwell there. I would abide there. I could encounter the Father the way you encounter Him. I could be loved the way you're loved. I could sit the way you sit. I could be clothed the way you're clothed. You would show me. Move me from mystery to plainness. Move me from mystery to understanding, to intimately know that I could intimately know, that I could know that you are in the Father and I am in you in the Father. That I can, do you understand what He's offering you there? Do you understand? Because the world will cloud this thing over in 5 seconds flat. The enemy will cloud these kind of truths over. They'll cloud, I mean, the second you start trying to approach this kind of stuff, he will bring a storm to keep you from it. You have to come up above where you can plainly see, because you're not going to see in the middle of a storm. You get above the storm and the light where there's life and light, and you can see and start experiencing the glory of it. That's when the world has no meaning. That's when the world system. It's not calling. God's calling now. These words are calling me. These words are calling me. In that day is calling me. That day is calling me. So what's the thing he showed us in chapter 14? He says, the mystery of my mantle is the dwelling place that I hold with the Father. The me dwelling in him and he dwelling in me. It's the oneness. That's the mystery of my mantle. That's the mystery of the anointing without measure. Now he's going to offer answered prayer here. Praying in his name. Say, in praying in his name. Now notice, I want to just show you something here. Now watch very closely. John 16, verse 23. In that day. In that day, you'll ask, in what day? Well, he already said that day. He already defined that day. So let's back up to that day, which is in John 14, verse 20. Say, in that day. Say, in that day. Watch this. In that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And in that day that you know, say, in the day you know, in the day that you gnosko, in the day that you gnosko, not know in knowledge, the day you become intimately acquainted with this realm that I am in my Father, where he is, and you're with me where I am in the Father, and you're dwelling in the Father, and you're partaking of the Father, and then we are in you. Say, we are in you. In that day that you know. Now, he's picking back up in chapter 16 of what he's saying in chapter 14. So when he goes in, a little while, I'm going to leave. A little while, your joy, though, will be, you'll be at sorrow at first, but your joy, your sorrow will be turned to joy. And in that day, he's referring back to chapter 14 that you intimately know this position. In that day, when you intimately know, you can ask the Father in my name, and he will do it for you. Notice the position of where he's asking from. Did you get it? Some of you going, Okay. Look at chapter 14, verse 19, yet a little while. Say a little while. He picks back up on the little while in chapter 16, verse 16, yet a little while, says the exact same thing. Okay, so he's coming back to what he was saying in 14. Let's look at the position of chapter 14, and then we'll look at the result in chapter 16. So he goes back, and look at 16. I'm chapter 14, verse 20. Say, at that day, the day you see me, he said, in a little while, the world will not see me, but you're going to see me where I am in the Father. And at that day, you're going to come to intimately know that I dwell in the Father, because he asked them to believe it. He goes, but in that day, I'm going to show it to you plainly. Not only am I going to show it to you, I'm going to bring you to where I am. Isn't that glorious? And where I am in the Father, you will be in me. And then once you obtain that position, we will be in you. Because he actually goes on and explains that in chapter 14. But for right now, that's what he's saying. He goes, at that day, you're going to intimately know that I'm in the Father and you are in me in the Father. And then you will know that I am in you in the earth. All right? Total mystery of his mantle. All right? Now, he's picking that back up. He talks about it a little while in chapter 16. But now he's going to add prayer to this. But notice what he says in prayer. Chapter 16 talks about the little while. Then he gets right back into at that day. In that day, you've come to intimately know that I'm in the Father, you are there with me, you've come to know that position. In that day, you shall ask me nothing there. But I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father, say, in my name. How many times have we asked the Father in the earthly jurisdiction, in the name of Jesus? Wouldn't you like to get more than 1% of your prayers answered? Because he wasn't speaking of you praying here in the name of Jesus. He said, in that day that you will know that I'm in the Father, but you're in there with me because I'm going to bring you to where I am. And in that day, you're not going to pray to me. You're going to be praying in me. You're going to be praying in my name because you're going to be in me. You're going to be where I am, and you're going to be in me praying to the Father. That's different than just saying in Jesus' name. You're praying in him because you're in him. Did the light come on? There's a difference. I'm not saying that the name of Jesus doesn't work. It absolutely works here. Come out. But he's talking about making requests to the Father. He's not talking about exercising the kingdom. He's actually talking how to receive from your Father. He says, in that day, when you're in me, and we're in the Father, you're going to be in me. You all pray to me, you're going to pray in me. You're going to be praying in my name, because you're going to be in my name. And you're going to pray to the Father, he's going to hear you. Like he hears me. Because you're praying in me. It's like me praying to the Father. Because you're in me. The Father's going to answer. When you know Gnosko, this place, it's going to be just like me praying to the Father. Christ praying to the Father. Because you're going to come into me. And the Father's going to be answering my prayer because you're going to be praying in me. Could you imagine the Father ever, ever, ever not answering the Lord's prayer? He said, could I not call 12 legions of angels right now? Could I not call? Y'all look at me. Could you not call 12 legions of angels? My Father could deliver me right here. Could you imagine the Lord ever praying and the Father not hearing him? And how long have we been praying? How long? Are you satisfied with your present prayer life? I mean, we love to pray. We're praying. Hadn't answered the last 10 years, but we're praying. Might be something we're doing wrong. Might be somewhere where something needs changing. In that day, you're going to see me. I'm going to be sitting at the right hand of the Father. But you're going to see this realm. You're going to know. You're going to know. Say, I'm going to know it. If you don't know it, you got to know it first. You're going to know that I'm in my Father and you're in me and you're holding the same place of fellowship I'm holding. You're being loved the same way I'm being loved. In that day, you're going to know it. But then in that day that you do know it and you have come to Gnosko, that's why I say we got to go to Gnosko. We need some Gnosko anointing. That's a Greek word, Gnosko, for know. That's not just knowledge. That's revelation and impartation. It's experiential understanding of the union. Amen. God's going to give that to you. He promises to give it to you. It's his mission to give it to you. And that's what he wants you to believe. Don't you know? I want you to have the same place that I have. And when you do know that I am in my Father and you are in me, at that day, you won't have to pray to me, but pray in me. Pray in my name with me where I am to the Father, and then he'll answer you. God is not a man that he can lie. This is going to work when we move to the arena of Gnosko. Isn't that glorious? That's awesome. We need the Father to answer our prayers, because when the Father's not answering our prayers, we go to the world. We go to human sufficiency. We go to what we can do. We go to our limitations. We employ all kinds of the Amalek, Ishmael, Eleazars, because God's not answering the prayer. We're employing our stuff. Look, I can't get Isaac birthed, so let's get Eleazar, make him the heir. If God's answering your prayers, it's a testimony. Wouldn't that be amazing? Knock on your neighbor's door and say, listen, you know that I know God. Yeah. But God is going to answer my prayer today. What do you need? What do you need? Because he answers my prayer now. When I call up on him, he hears me. I got gnoskoed. I went to this church and got gnoskoed. Now I know that I dwell in him and he's loving me and he loves me with an everlasting love and he can't help himself. He just loves me, and what I ask, he'll do for you. And when he does it for you, then you come back and, oh, he answered my prayer. I said, wouldn't you like to know him? Would you like to receive him? Would you like to get gnoskoed? You see the difference in our Christianity right now? We're not operating high enough, so we're not getting the results that we need. But the Lord Jesus in this church is on a mission to get us there. And these words are going to get us there. And if it's the last thing I do on this planet, I'm going to get there. I'm in there now in these early stages. It's so glorious. I love it forever. Okay, I'm going to share one more scripture because We've gnoskoed you quite a bit today. Go to John 14 now, verse 20. You can read about the oneness in John 17. Very powerful. He talks about the love of the Father, you and him. He repeats all of this, I and him, all of that. But I want you to go back to John 14. I'm going to give you this, and we'll close. Do you have a new revelation of what it means to pray in the name? Now, you're operating in the name of Jesus here. In the Father, you're praying in the Son. You're in him. You're praying in his name. You're not just saying in the name of Jesus. You are in him. And it's just, I don't know if you heard that or not. When you're praying in him, it's like he is praying to the Father. And the Father's not going to deny him. So when you truly get the gnosko, and you truly get the position, and then you pray, you're in him. The Father is hearing the Son pray to him because you are praying in the Son. And the Father, to my knowledge, has not ever not answered one prayer of the Son. Amen. Glory to God. When the light bulb comes on, you got to get a revelation. If your head's swimming, let it swim, but get the teaching. And go over until your spirit gets it. Listen, your spirit is seated is made in the God class. Listen, you have to understand your spirit can receive millions of bits of information per second. When God, he doesn't like dealing with your mind because your mind's too slow. He likes your spirit. He likes imparting. He likes exploding revelation. It's like, zing! You see 5 years in front of you in 5 seconds. Because he zinged you. And when he does, he explodes that because your subconscious, which is your spiritual mind, it can receive millions of bits of information per second. Your spirit will get it because that's who the Holy Spirit. Right now, your mind's trying to, When you start listening to it, the Holy Ghost will bring that revelation into your spirit. It'll go, whoo, and your spirit will go, yeah, baby. Then he'll start feeding it up to your mind in stages, but your spirit will get it all in 5 seconds flat. You got to get this in your spirit, not your head. If your head's swimming, you need to get this teaching and listen it over and over again until your spirit starts swimming in it. When you get a baptism of what I'm talking about, it's the secret to his mantle, and I am locked on. Because I and you and us are going to Gnosko. We are going to intimately understand the oneness. Not just understand it, we are going to dwell, say dwell. Now, he gives the secret to how to do this. I'm just telling you, he actually starts telling you how to do this. It's very important. Now, I'm going to close with this. It's very, 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 very important you understand to do it his way. If you go about this way, a lot of people go seek God and it's all good, but they're not getting high enough. There are certain things that'll get you through the veil. And he's going to tell you how to do it. And I'm only going to introduce that to you today. All right. But believe it or not, it's already in there. John 14. Ready? Make sure you read the Bible with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to just give you one verse. Before this, we're going to look at verse 21, 22, and 23. This was after he said in that day, you'll know this place. Now look at verse 21, verse 20, 20. In that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father and you'll know that you're in me. Then now he's going to tell you how to do that. He's going to tell you what's going to happen. Now don't read this with the wrong lens. It says, he that hath my commandments and keep them, he that is loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself unto him. So I'm going to go get all of his commandments now. So he will love me. If you do that, you're going to move right into works mode. You don't go get all his commandments to go do them so he can love you. Number one, he already loves you. Number two, he's already paid this price for you. Number three, he's already sent his Holy Spirit to bring you to where he is. Number four, he's given you a word. And number five, he's not talking about that. He'll explain it. Because if his disciples didn't understand it, you know, the first time around, if you don't understand it the first time around, we're all in the same company, you know. So Judas, thank God for Judas, is not as scared of the other Judas. He said to him, Lord, how is it that you'll manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? How are we going to encounter you? How does this encounter stuff work? Aren't you glad he asked the questions? If he asked the question, all I got to do is get in on the answer. Now, Jesus said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. Say, keep my words. He's not talking about all the do's and don'ts of Christianity. He's talking about these words of the upper room. You're going to keep these promises. You're going to keep these sayings. You're going to keep what I'm telling you. You're going to hide them into your heart, and they have the power to bring you to where I am. They're going to give you the light, the illumination, the revelation. They're going to give you the ability to see the invisible, and they're going to bring you to where I am in the Father. Otherwise, you won't be able to find it because your senses are not going to find it. You will keep my words. Now watch what happens when you keep his words. He's going to keep my words. I love this because this is happening now. He will keep my words. And my Father will love him. It's almost like, if you read this in the wrong understanding, you think, okay, I got to do all the do's and don'ts, and then you'll love me, Father. Does that sound like our Father? Has that ever worked for you before? Since when can performance Since when does performance ever initiate the love of the Father? Does God love unconditionally? Then is he asking you to go do a bunch of do's and don'ts so he will love you? You know what he's saying? It's why you have to have the Holy Ghost. Say, Holy Ghost. Say, Holy Ghost, please explain this to me, because I know you're not talking about going to get a bunch of do's and don'ts, because that didn't work for the people under the law. It's not going to work for me. What are you saying? Jesus said unto him, if a man truly loves me, if you love me, you're going to take these words that I'm saying, and you're going to keep them until they deliver you into the Father. And when they deliver you into the Father is going to love you in a way you have never been loved before. Because you're not just going to get a visitation from the Father. These words are going to bring you into a dwelling place in the Father. And the way the Father loves me, he's going to love you. There's going to be an initiation of perfect love, an exchange of perfect love, where we perfect the oneness. And after you have been loved and loved and loved and loved and loved and loved and loved, then my Father and I will come with you into the earth, and we will make our abode with you in the earth for the manifestation of the kingdom of God in the earth. Oh, hallelujah. That's the power of John 14, 15, 16, and 17. The power. I promise you, there's some serious kind of love up there. I'm not saying God will not come down here and love you. He'll visit you, but he wants to bring you into an unadulterated place in him where there is no enemy, where there's no thief, where there is nobody that's going to steal, kill, destroy, harass. He's going to bring you into a perfect love, and you're going to dwell with him in perfect love in the Lord. And as you dwell with him, you're going to know that you're in him, and he's going to truly love you with a love that's not of this world. And this is what we need desperately. And this kind of love, and once the Father's going to love you. Now, he said that, and the Father will love you. He can be talking about months and months and months of caught up in the love of the Father. And then once the Father has loved you, you're going to continually have this place. Then we're going to come and make our abode. And when God makes his abode, you've just entered into the mystery of the Lord's mantle. And the Father's going to come and dwell in you the way he dwelt in me. And we're going to do the works of the kingdom through you. That's called kingdom come, thy will be done. Wow. Somebody stand up. Let's just give him glory, Father. Glory to your blessing. Glory for these words. These words, these powerful words that can bring us all the way to you, Father.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.